The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Football at 4. Here's The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
Way to go, Avs. We'll see what happens with Gabriel Landeskog. We'll keep our eyes out for that. We got Dodgers and the Giants. We got to root for the... Yeah, I don't know.
We got to root for what?
I don't know.
I got to root for something in baseball?
No, don't even bother.
Tell you what, I was rooting for the Avs last night, Bill. That was fun. Could they start a little bit earlier, though? I mean, these
O'clock
games, that doesn't work for me. That just doesn't work. I don't know who that works for, in the Plumbus household, that doesn't work for me. Tried to watch it all, D-Mac. You guys were at the game. I know you and Richie, you were both there. Richie was in, like, the third row right there at center
ice. How about those seats for Richie,
He's the richest dude I know. The richest dude I know. But you guys had incredible seats. You're texting me at like 10:30. You're like at the intermission. I'm like, fellas, like I got to put my phone on Do Not Disturb right now because it's bedtime.
Yeah, we are kind of like little school pals with the text sometimes at night. But
D-Mac, I mean, D-Mac will send his text at 2:45 in the morning. Seriously, I'll send him the next day. I'm like, dude, what is going on in the McKee house at 2:45 in the morning?
Oh, right, man.
And what's the answer?
Oh, action, nonstop. I mean, it's a party.
Wow.
All right, well, let's go through some of the key matchups for Raiders week. Let's start with Von Miller, Malik Reed against Colton Miller and Brandon Parker.
You know, this is a fun matchup because Von has been to Derek Carr, much like Mitchell Schwartz has been to Von Miller. Now, I know that they're not facing off against one another, so you're thinking, what are you talking about, Tyler? Well, when Von talks about Mitchell Schwartz, D-Mac, how does he talk about him? Open question.
He's the kryptonite, I thought, Von. But Von's done better, hasn't he, recently?
No. It's not about Mitch dominating Von, but here's what it is. It's that when Von faces Mitch, it's in his head. And he knows that I'm going up against a dude that I got to bring my best because, well, I've had a lot of bad experiences playing against Mitchell Schwartz. Von hasn't shied away from that. He's been very public that he's had challenges against Mitchell. What's been also obvious is that Derek Carr, he's got a thing about Von Miller in his mind. And I know that they're not facing off against one another. I get it. Derek Carr's the quarterback. But Derek has talked about Von Miller every single year, about the bad memories that he has when he plays against Von and the way that he has just disrupted and terrorized games. Von's got 7.5 sacks in the last 8 years against Derek Carr. Okay, all right, let's go, man. I mean, you've got an opportunity. You're in his head. He talks about it. He feels like you're a game disruptor. So go disrupt the game and get in his head.
It was interesting. Von today spoke at length, glowingly, about Derek Carr and their relationship together because of how long they've known each other and how they've kind of grown up together.
You know why? Because Derek Carr always talks about Von.
Okay.
Every single year when it comes time to play the Denver Broncos.
Nicely.
Derek Carr talks about Von Miller and how he disrupts the game. So those two, they developed a relationship. Von and Mitchell Schwartz, they've got a lot of mutual respect between those two. They talk about each other on social media all the time.
Do you go harder or not quite as hard or differently against guys that you like and respect?
Oh, that's fun. See, this one's a little bit different because they're not going up against one another, but absolutely. There's something different about guys that you know on a consistent basis. Like, when I was playing in the NFC East and I'd go up against Connor Barwin every single year, twice a year, I would look at him on film and I'd be like, man, this dude shouldn't beat me. Like, the NFC East, dude, that was murderer's row of pass rushers. We had DeMarcus Ware. They had Anthony Spencer. We had the Cowboys. It was Jason Pierre-Paul. It was Osio Benura. It was Justin Tuck for the Giants. Then with the Giants, I'm going up against Connor Barwin, and I'm thinking to myself, ugh, this should be the week, right?
Mm-hmm.
Inevitably, I would always struggle against Connor Barwin. And for sure, when I would face off against them, I had a deal that now is in my head. Like, why do I struggle against you when I do okay against DeMarcus Ware?
Mm.
And absolutely, I wanted to step my game up because it meant something to me that I didn't want to be embarrassed by a dude that I didn't feel like should embarrass me.
How should Vaughn do in this matchup? He got, you know, it was a little rocky last week. How should he do in this matchup this week?
You know, the Raiders have dismantled their offensive line, and it has not been a good dismantling. I don't know why they did what they did in the offseason. They had one of the best offensive lines in football. Colton Miller is playing left tackle, and Colton's a pretty respectable player. He is. He honestly is. But he's not as good as Vaughn when Vaughn is playing at his best. So I think that Colton will end up over Malik Reed more than Vaughn, but still it's a matchup that I like.
I hate to cut this short. I don't mean to cut this short.
Oh, you got something?
I do have something, Kevin.
Okay.
Put the music down. We do have some breaking news just in.
Oh.
We'll
good,
get
good,
back
good
to
news,
the
bad news.
Oh, not good news.
Okay.
Gabriel Landeskog has been suspended for 2 games.
Actually, I think I'm okay with that, D-back. I think big picture, that doesn't feel like worst case scenario,
okay.
Honestly. That felt like the type of hit that, you know, if the NHL wanted to make a statement, they could have made a statement. They could have made it much more significant than that. You're at the early parts of the season. If you're going to have to play a couple games without Landeskog, all right, it's only 2 games. That doesn't feel like the end of the world to me.
Okay.
You?
I guess you're right. It just feels like, whoa. It just sucks. It just is a...
Well, here's the deal. It's official. It was dirty. Okay? So...
There you go.
Anybody out there that was defending it...
Well, there were a lot of people defending it.
I know. There's a lot of guys on the text line. They're like, oh, Tyler, you don't know what you're talking about. That wasn't a dirty play. That's hockey. No, it was dirty. The dude had his back turned. He was on a knee. He was defenseless. You got to back away from it, but I won't tell the story for the third time right now. I've told it twice already. I do know firsthand that I've been in situations where I've been the dirty guy, and it's not that I wanted to be the dirty guy. It's just that you had a split second to make a decision, and you made the wrong decision. That's what it feels like. That's what I think happened with Landeskog. I don't think he was intentionally trying to do something that was going to put somebody in jeopardy. He made a split second, last second decision, and it went the wrong way.
Okay. Well, on the text line, it was a dirty hit and 2 games means nothing. The season started, who cares? All right. Listen, man. There were so many know-it-alls last night, though. Let me just point that out. When it happened, and it was like, hey, man, that didn't look good. That he might get suspended. People were like, you didn't get a game misconduct. You don't know hockey. This, that. Now what? What now? Again, it's not the end of the world.
But there probably was not malicious intent. It's obvious that Landeskog had a split second to make a decision. The dude did go down at the last second. He did kind of go into that crouch position, and he just didn't react quickly enough. So the NHL would agree that it doesn't look like he did it with malicious intent, but it was a dirty moment.
All right, bigger question, though. Is that 2 games well worth taking? Because it sends a message to the rest of the league about who the Avalanche are and what they'll take and what they won't take.
No, not to me. That's not the type of moment that I say that's well worth it. That dude was in jeopardy. Like, if you could do it all over again, you should make the right decision and not hit him.
Okay. Well, Landy's out for 2 games. There you go. Wow, what a night last night, huh? Wild. So we'll get some of your reaction to that news. Let's get back to the matchups. I'll kill you with truth around 4:30 or so. This is The Drive on The Fan.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
It's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac on Denver's Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
Landeskog was on the hunt, wanted to change momentum, didn't like the way his team had played in the last few shifts after the Hawks goal. On the forecheck, got on the hit, and then on the back check, hunted down Kirby Dock and hit him as well.
Let's bring in Don Koharski. Koho, what did you see on that play?
Well, I like the original call, the Landeskog right away by Schlenker, the referee. Admire Johnson for his retaliation. This hit I don't like, but I like the assessment of the penalties. Chicago's got to come out of this with a power play, so I like their good game management and their penalty assessment.
Yeah, you know, Coho, the game happens fast, and if Doc stays on his skates, you know, and that hit takes place, is that an okay hit then?
Oh, I 100% it's an okay hit. It's just a good finish play, good hockey play.
Landeskog has been suspended for 2 games. That has just come out. What do you think?
Yeah, it feels like it could have been a whole lot worse than that. Watching that, the replay of it, I watched it a handful of times before the show. I came in already feeling like, yes, it was a dirty hit, because if you watch that play, it's obvious. Look, the guy was down on one knee. He practically had his back turned to you, entirely defenseless. 100%, you would like to think that if you're in his situation, that the other dude would pull off. I also think that it did not have malicious intent. You know, there's a difference, right? Was it a dirty play? Uh-huh. Did Landeskog intend for it to be a dirty play? Well, I don't know. Like, we heard the announcers talking about it a split second ago. He was on his skates, right? And if he's on his skates, then it's an entirely different story. He wasn't, though. So you got to make a split second decision. The split second decision was not made fast enough or in the appropriate manner. It was a dirty play. He deserves to be suspended. I think the suspension is appropriate because the intent does not appear that it was malicious in nature. It would just happen to be a coincidence of bad timing with a poor decision.
Let's see.
2 games doesn't feel like that big of a deal.
You know, now that you say it, it actually doesn't. It feels like he'd got off a little bit light.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if he got off light. I really wouldn't say that either, because intent is what really matters for me. And dude, that was a split second. That was a moment. The dude was on his skates, then he wasn't. And did you react quickly enough? Well, no, you did not. Should he have he reacted differently? Yeah, Gabe should have reacted differently, but he didn't. The intent was never there to try to kill this dude, though.
Okay. I think Landy was lining him up, and then it was too late to make any change, and then he boarded the dude. I don't think so. I mean, go back and watch the replay. I don't think so. I think he definitely had some intent to hit the guy really hard.
No, here's what I think. I think that the texter's right. He lined him up. He had intent to hit him hard when he was on his skates, okay? Then he was no longer. Then he was on one knee. Then he had his back turned. And at that point, as a player, you do have to make a split-second decision. And I've been there. I've done dirty things that I didn't want to do, but it was a split-second decision. You're on the field. It's an aggressive game. You make a decision. It's me or you. I hope that I don't do anything overly dirty. Oops, I did. It was dirty. He deserves to be suspended. But I would agree with the texter that when he lined him up, he did not line him up when he was already in a defenseless position. He lined him up when he thought he was going to be able to get a good, clean hit on him.
Oof. Okay. On the text line, it was a dirty hit. 2 games means nothing. Season just started. Who cares? All right. 2 games. Move on. Unreal. Party. What? All right. Hey, man. Well, I guess it's not that big of a deal, I guess. But that being said, it certainly felt like a big deal when Kadri was out for the playoffs, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, okay, it's early. Nobody's freaking out. It's the first game of the year. But was missing Kadri for the playoffs a big deal or not? Did it matter or not?
Well, not really, but missing Gabe would be a big deal. That would be a huge deal. So if Landeskog were to do something like this in the playoffs, I'd be really ticked off at him. Absolutely. Like, dude, you got to be smarter than that. You got to pull off. I'm a little bit ticked off at him right now because you got to be smarter. You got to pull off. But given the circumstance, given how early it is in the season, all right, you live, you learn, you move on. 2-game suspension. Glad everybody's okay.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, back to football stuff.
Back to football. Let's go.
Let's talk about more of these matchups. And this is interesting. Now, you gave some light to the fire of perhaps Justin Simmons should move into sort of a different position.
But 1 game temporarily, yes.
Yeah. But it was pointed out by the Broncos coaches, well, okay, sure, there's Darren Waller, but there's Hunter Renfrow, there's Henry Ruggs. There's all sorts of other weapons there for the Raiders, and they've got a great quarterback. So Who is on Henry Ruggs? Is it Patrick Surtain on Henry Ruggs?
It's going to be a lot, for sure. It'll be a mix. I mean, those guys will mix it up between him. Ronald Darby, I believe, is going to play in this game. That's what it sounds like,
they
right?
They want him to. I mean, they're trying to get him to play. Here's Fangio on Darby.
We'll play the, to see how Ronald gets through the week and then make a decision how we play him.
I mean, I think they're optimistic.
Sure. Well, it'll be a mix between Surtain and Fuller, Darby, all of them, anybody that's out there. Callahan, for the most part, is going to be lined up on Hunter Renfrow. He's the only guy that could line up on him. So I hope that he trails him wherever he goes. It's not that Hunter's a number one wide receiver, but he plays the slot role. That's where Bryce needs to be. He's the only guy we've got that can hang with him in that role. What's going to be interesting this week? Okay, so if they were to do what I suggested, bring Justin Simmons into the box in obvious passing situations so that you could line him up, get him one-to-one with Waller, well, then your concern goes to the back end because you've got Ruggs, who absolutely can take the top off of defense. And we've proved over the last couple weeks that we're susceptible to that. So I put another big matchup this week on Patrick Surtain or whoever is guarding Henry Ruggs. If Justin Simmons goes down there in the box, you better understand that they're going to try to hit that home run ball, and you got to go toe-to-toe with one of the fastest players in the league.
It's clear there's a different tone out at Dove Valley this week. It's clear. You can feel it. I'll kill you with truth about it next.
I'm just an old truth teller.
It's time for D-Mac to kill you with truth.
I want the truth!
Tell the truth!
And the truth shall set you free!
Here on The Drive.
Some weird things are happening out at Dove Valley this week, and you would think that all the weirdness and strange stuff would be with the Las Vegas Raiders. Well, of course, they've had a terrible, terrible week. But I think the Broncos are feeling a weird ricochet impact that they're next up for the Raiders. And so while the national attention is on the Raiders and what's going on and how they're going to respond, if you just sort of read through the tea leaves a little bit, all of a sudden you feel like, whoa, all the pressure is on the Broncos. So we're hearing about a dust-up between defensive players at practice yesterday. We're having just odd moments talking about, you know, the social media stuff again and again and again. I think it's great that Vic Fangio was wearing a Landeskog shirt. He didn't realize he was wearing a Landeskog shirt. It was almost...
James Merlot says it's a distraction.
What's that?
That he wore an Avalanche shirt.
Oh,
focus on the Raiders, Vic.
Oh, well, I don't see it like that. I see it like a little bit of a deflection, not a distraction. Like, hey, we're in a good mood around here. The truth is, Tyler, things are pretty tense. Things are really tense over at Dove Valley. And this game is setting up to be, I think, one of the more historic games in Broncos Raiders history. Now, it could be absolutely meaningless if the Broncos just do what they should do and beat a team in a tailspin. And then it's all like hunky-dory and who cares. But the fact that Mike Shanahan's being honored, it's the Raiders, all this crap's going on, the drama with this game is kind of off the charts. And I think they can feel it at Dove Valley. So, folks, if you want a pseudo-playoff game, the truth is, here we go. Tyler.
Okay. All right, listen. I understand why they're feeling the pressure because they recognize what this game is. They recognize that they're going up against a team that now has a special teams coordinator as their head coach that is going through societal issues and challenges that are so much bigger than football right now that they've got guys that need to take days off as they're preparing to play the Denver Broncos. You've lost two games in a row to the Baltimore Ravens and to the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers game is what's got everybody on edge right now. So what you feel, I feel. I see it, I can hear it. You listen to Pat Shurmur, the dude's just tight. He is uptight right now. He's tense. He feels the pressure. I wish that they had a different attitude. I wish that, although the pressure is real, that they sounded more optimistic. I wish that they would present themselves in a manner like Staley does or some of these other coaches do, where you say, hey, fellas, we've got the opportunity of a lifetime in front of us. They almost feel to me like they're approaching this game like Drew Locke approached it when he came in as a backup.
Mm.
Like, look at all the challenges. Look at how hard this is right now.
Mm.
No, look, you've got an opportunity to save things. You've got an opportunity to go be 4-2. However, you're right, D-Mac. The reality of this game is if you lose this game, if Vic Fangio gets out-coached by Rich Bisaccia, a special teams coach that has never been a head coach before,
right,
and if they get out-schemed and they lose to the Las Vegas Raiders this weekend, it will cause a death spiral that will be near impossible to get out of. The hot seat is there. It's not warm. It's hot. You're officially talking about whether Vic Fangio is capable of being an NFL head coach because you just went off against the Vegas Raiders with Rich Bisaccia as the head coach.
Plus, you follow that with a short week. Roadie in Cleveland, a team that is a punishing football team. And you have issues stopping the run against the Steelers, a team that barely runs the ball. And maybe there's some little infighting now about where to be and whose responsibility is what. Again, against the Raiders, a team that really doesn't run the ball very well or care to run the ball. We'll see what actually happens. But guess what? The Cleveland Browns, dude, they run the ball. I mean, they crush teams. You know what's amazing about the Browns, Tyler? Not only are they committed to running the ball, they score while running the ball.
Well, because they're good at it. Because they're effective at what they do. They don't just try to run the ball. They don't just line up like we do, like Pat Shurmur does, and say, oh, we ran the ball on first and second down. They've got a purpose to what they do. They've got a scheme. They've got X's and O's. They've got the right personnel. They know how to get a hat for a hat, and they know how to call a running play that it's impossible for the defense to force you out of it. Everything they do is schematically built around their personnel to run the football. What do? We go out there in 11 personnel. We try to run the football with three wide receivers. We go out there with Albert Okwuegbunam as our only tight end that's on the field. That's the dude that's in the box that is trying to be a blocking tight end for us. No wonder we can't run the ball.
All the pressure's on the Broncos.
Yes.
It's crazy.
Yes.
And you can feel it out there, Tyler.
I'm telling you, D-Mac.
Feel it out there.
I'm telling you right now that this will be a death spiral for Vic Fangio. You drop this game against Rich Bisaccia, a coach that was a special teams coach last week. He's never been a head coach before. And everybody can rightfully question, are you capable of out-scheming another NFL coach or not? Because if you couldn't do it this weekend against Rich Bisaccia, who are you going to do it against?
Okay. 303-713-1043. Curious to get your feedback on everything. Troy Rank will join us with his insight to what was going on at Dove Valley. And there's a question on the text line. Is there a Fangio curse? Get ready for this one coming up next.
It's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac on Denver Sports Station 1043 The Fan.
Under the category, maybe you have too much time on your hands. Somebody has created a Twitter page called Mike Kliss Jacket.
Wow.
Why? Because of this interaction with our very own Mike Kliss and Von Miller earlier today, based on a Golden High School baseball jacket with JJ embroidered on it. Golden High School baseball. JJ embroidered that. And Vaughn.
Golden Junior Baseball. That's your jacket, Mike?
What's that?
That's your jacket?
Yeah.
You play baseball?
I used to coach it.
Oh, you used to coach, okay.
Yeah, but ask him where he got the jacket.
Where you get it from?
Garage sale.
It looks nice on you. So you don't know who JJ is.
Well, this is good enough.
It looks nice. It looks nice.
It's got JJ monogram.
Yes, it looks nice. It looks nice.
JJ had the garage sale.
I just love the fact that you're the one that sold him out. I just love it. I love it.
I mean,
Vaughn was on his way. He was going to get there. I guarantee you. Vaughn, he was getting inquisitive, right? I'm going to get to the bottom. Whatever the heck this weird jacket is that you're wearing, Mike, but you were just like, you know what? Let's cut to the chase.
Let's get right to it.
Ask him where he got that jacket.
Let's get right to it. Let's not mess around.
Mike, what are you doing? Who buys a jacket at a garage sale that is like a letterman's jacket with somebody's name on it?
I don't know.
If it was like a bowling shirt or something, I would be like,
somebody
okay.
else with somebody else's name on it?
But at least that's kind of funny, right? Like a bowling shirt with somebody's
Tim?
Name on it?
Yeah?
Huh? No?
Fred?
I don't know.
Bongo?
Right?
Maybe he's got a nickname?
Like an auto body shirt that's got somebody's name on it?
I mean, maybe, but they would just think you're that guy.
But a letterman jacket?
So anyways, here's the Twitter feed. Mike Kliss jacket.
Everybody follow it.
There's four tweets out. Mike Kliss jacket. So glad my story is being told. Too many Letterman jackets get tossed aside. Mike rescued me.
Yeah, that's good.
I was lost. I was as lost as Pat Shurmur making a game plan before Mike saved me.
Oh.
Nobody is as thrilled as me that winter's almost here. I miss Mike all summer. I'm back. That's a good one. If Shurmur committed to the run game like Mike committed to me, this offense might be better. It was great seeing D-Mac in practice today. He wears it all the time. He's worn it for 10 years.
Well, I do respect that.
He's worn it's so funny because I don't know what it is about this year that so many people are mentioning the jacket. I've seen Mike wear this jacket more or less for the past decade.
I do respect the fact that he knows that everybody makes fun of it. And if you continue to wear it at that point, like that's pretty bold. That's a strong move. I'm proud of you.
How many clothes do you have that have somebody else's name on them?
I've got a few. You want to know why?
Why?
They don't have their name, but they've got other people's numbers on it. Because in the NFL, everything that you get, they put your number on the inside of the shirt or on the inside of the shorts or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And I've definitely got a lot of gear that I put on that it's like number 67, number 73. And I'm like, who was this? Whose shorts did I steal? Whose shower shoes are these? Sometimes I go through the roster and I'm like, wonder who I got this from. I got a Seattle Seahawks. This is kind of funny, actually. So I took my son out to a Seattle Seahawks alumni weekend last year. I guess that was 2 years ago now. But so part of that weekend, it was fantastic. He got to meet Pete, got to go into the indoor facility. We got to watch practice. Mm-hmm. He got to take a picture with him. Like, my son talks about Pete Carroll, and he refers to him as Pete, like he's best friends with Pete.
That's
right?
Cool, yeah.
I got to talk to Marshawn, got to talk to a lot of the guys. It was a great trip. But at the very end, one of the best parts was we had this alumni meeting where it was just the alumni, and they're like, okay, hey, at the back, we're sitting in the team auditorium. And they're like, hey, at the very back, we've got stacks, piles of Seahawks clothing. Go take whatever you want. It's a free-for-all. We've got no method to this. We don't have the sizes. We don't know what you want. Just go take whatever you want, right? So we go back there, and it was chaos, man. I mean, people are, like, jumping over one another. You get to the back. You're just piled up. At this point, you're just literally taking piles of stuff. Don't even know what it is. Don't know if it's going to fit. I'm just going to give it to somebody.
Yeah.
Well, after I put it all in the bag and I start looking at it, I realize that everything that I just received out of that bag has somebody's name on it. It was clothes that had been worn by players. And my favorite part was that I got a bunch from Pat McPherson. Do you remember Pat?
Why does that sound so familiar?
So Pat McPherson was a tight ends coach for Mike Shanahan.
Okay.
I played for him my rookie year. And then when we went out to Seattle, I played with him. He's still there. He's been in Seattle forever. Still the tight ends coach. But I ended up with a bunch of Pat McPherson clothes. So I text him all the time when I put his clothes on. Creepy? No?
A little bit.
Is that like wearing JJ?
It's odd, but I mean, can other people see that it's Pat? No,
I want
they
you
can't.
To just like visualize this for a second, though, because I'm not sure that you fully understood just the chaos that ensued with a bunch of NFL alumni in a room together.
Yeah.
They were told that there's free gear in the back.
Yeah, that's
and what was going on to get to the back of that room only to figure out that it was already worn clothes.
Let's go to Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Broncos insider, joining us courtesy of
ROX, Rocks Heating and Air.
Troy, the most important story, do you have a comment about Kliss's JJ jacket? I mean, your just thoughts and impressions of the jacket, and then we can move on.
Yeah, Mike's had it for several years. It's a junior, like Golden Junior Baseball Association, like it almost like one Walter Matthau would wear in Bad News Bears.
Yeah.
Hey, it works for him. He pulls it off. So, yeah, it was just a very funny exchange. And the fact that somebody else threw someone under the bus other than Pat Shurmur today, D-Mac takes credit for that.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, he was quick to do it, wasn't he, Troy?
Wow.
Hey, Troy, I got to admit, listening to just about everybody that has spoken to the media this week, stuff is heavy. The building is heavy right now. You could hear it from Pat Shurmur. You could hear it from the fellas. You could hear it from Vic Fangio. What does this moment mean to this team this week, and why is everybody so heavy?
Well, I think they recognize the reality of the situation, that if they fashion themselves as contenders, they fashion themselves on having a winning record and going to the playoffs, you got to beat the Raiders at home in a chaotic week for the Raiders. I mean, people are talking about how this, you know, resignation of John Gruden in disgrace could galvanize the Raiders. Listen, I said this on the morning show today when I was hosting. If you get out coached by a team that doesn't have a coach, it's an indictment of the entire staff. You can't lose this game. If you're going to go 3-3 in the AFC West, you got to beat the Raiders at home. Because, well, the Chiefs are down. Well, you know what the Broncos' record in Kansas City in December is? Like 4-18, and they've lost 11 straight. Have you watched the Chargers this year? I mean, you can't afford to lose to the Raiders at home. Last week was the mulligan game for me, because Pittsburgh is the team they should have beaten. If you want to say Baltimore is better than them, Tyler, I'm fine with that. I think they are, and Lamar Jackson is the X factor in that. But you can't lose to Pittsburgh, and they did. And you certainly, if you value your chance at being a playoff contender, you can't lose to the Raiders at home, who are in a chaotic week. I don't want to hear about them galvanizing and rallying. Stop. Stop making excuses and just go out and take care of business. That's all.
I started laughing when you didn't even mean to say anything rude. You just said, you know, they're being coached by a special teams coach, right? I seriously started laughing inside my head, because what if I told you that the Denver Broncos were going to be coached, the head coach the rest of the season was going to be Tom McMahon? How would we be feeling about that around here, right?
Yeah, you would think, okay, they're now searching for the new head coach and the season's over outside of personal statistics.
Yep.
Yeah, it is funny, though. Special teams coaches, like when Coobs went down for a little bit, it was Jody Kamills that took over. There is something about the whole, like, special teams thing. Like, you just have to sort of manage stuff. I mean, it's not like he's going to be calling plays offensively or defensively. I mean, it kind of makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, but what if Tom McMahon was our head coach?
Well, that would make no sense at all. I can't even imagine.
Go back further. What if it were Brock Oliva?
Brock Oliva, holy cow.
I would have loved that just for the post-game presser. I would have had my popcorn just for the post-game presser with Brock.
We know who would have been playing a lot if it was Brock Oliva.
22 Janos.
They'd have 23 Janos, because he would count himself then as the head coach as a Jano.
What happened yesterday with this? With Troy, do you have any more insight or any sort of idea about what happened with this dust-up in practice?
I don't, other than it's my understanding it was defensive players got into it over an assignment. It was related to that. I don't really think it's a big deal. I like the fact there's some passion and guys getting upset, because to me, that goes back to accountability to each other and personal ownership. The 2015, Tyler can attest to this. I know those defensively, those guys got into it. I mean, I've talked to those guys at length about this, from Chris Harris to TJ Ward and Aqib Talib. I mean, they had no problem getting after each other. I mean, even in 2000, whatever year that was, 17, I mean, they had Isaiah McKenzie coming back into the locker room crying after going at practice against the defensive back. So I'm not going to sit here and say it's unusual. In fact, I don't think it's a bad thing right now. I think last week against Pittsburgh, were they getting held and there were some calls going against them? Sure, but then why not jump the ref? Get vocal. Get mad. Take it personally. I guess that's what, like, in a week when Mike Shanahan's being honored, and no matter what you think of Mike Shanahan as a coach, and he was brilliant here in Denver, if you just see it through that prism, he made Raiders Week personal. And whether he conveyed it to every guy on the team, it was known in the building. It was personal. And sometimes that's not a bad thing, that we're going to go win, and this is a personal game, and it's a personal affront to us if they come in here and play well. And I just want to see that version of the Broncos instead of the reactionary Broncos getting punched and having trouble getting off the ropes. I don't like that version of the Broncos, because I covered the 97-98 team, 99 team. I covered the 2015 team, and those teams had personal accountability. And when you punch them, you better be damn sure they were going to punch you back. And if they lost, they lost. But it wasn't because they were playing the victim.
Hey, speaking of Mike and the Raiders, is it a coincidence that he's going into the Ring of Fame on the weekend that we're playing the Raiders?
Heck no.
Of course not. So that's the organization doing him a solid. Yeah?
Absolutely. 100%. And then whether they say that or not, it doesn't matter. It's not a coincidence. It aligns with Kyle Shanahan's team has a bye. But, you know, whether it meant his son being there or getting honored against the Raiders, he would have probably chosen, I want to get honored versus the Raiders at home to just rub their nose in it one more time.
I mean,
Mike took it extremely personal over the lost wages when he was fired by Al Davis. I mean, there was no lost love ever. He went 21-7 against the Raiders, and I'm pretty sure if memory serves, he started out against the Raiders as the Broncos head coach, 11-1. And some of those games weren't close. So first drive and first quarter, because that's where Shanahan's teams just blitz teams early in games, and then their defense could just pin their ears back and go get turnovers.
All right. Thank you, Troy. We'll talk to you over the weekend, and we can all make fun of Kliss tomorrow in a good-natured, lovable sort of way.
Yeah, you lost all his weight, and now you dress right. So you just seem like an elitist. It wasn't too long ago. You were wearing stuff out of the bargain bin.
Well, not that hard to pick up on it, is it, Troy?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's Troy Rank, courtesy of ROX, Rocks Heating and Air, a smart man. Everybody picks up on it, D-Mac. You're so smug. I look at you right now. I just see a skinny, smug dude.
That is like the nicest thing you could ever say about me.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. It's KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont, Denver. It's a little bit before 5 o'clock, but yeah. No.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbis here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.